Curious what a physical therapist can actually earn? Today, we're taking a close look at three common career paths for physical therapists. We're gonna talk about the pros, the cons, and most importantly, the type of income that you can expect.
Now, we're gonna be talking about really, your options are the different settings that you can work in. And I don't mean home health versus inpatient versus outpatient. For the most part, I would imagine done all of that work, but all of those fall under the traditional PT setting, the traditional PT industry where you're working in an insurance-based practice. So option one is, again, what most people do. And so that is being a PT in the traditional PT clinic. So the PT salary hits a ceiling. You might start off making fair market value, but generally you are making well under. In Texas, I thought I was going to make close to 80,000-ish, right? We all hope we're gonna be making something like that as PTs with our doctorates when we come out of school. And I started out making 68,000, which wasn't terrible, so I accepted it. But I was also under the impression that it would increase after my first year. And I got a 25 cent raise at my first year, which if anyone wants to do the math, that's $520 annually, nice. Which makes a huge difference with what you're making.
Probably just enough to put you in the next tax bracket. So that way you actually take home less every paycheck. Nice. Yeah, I started out at 60,000 flat, which I think might be a little bit worse than 68 in Texas just because of the cost of living differences. I don't know for sure, but yeah, it sucked. I was promised bonuses along the way and I got zero bonuses even though I was one of the highest producing therapists probably in the entire company, which had over 100 clinics, I wanna say, at one point, once they merged, but it doesn't matter. Either way, I did end up getting up to 70 grand with negotiations, meaning I finished two fellowships and a residency, and then told them that I was interviewing with other companies and what they were offering me, and they wouldn't even match. They just went down the middle. I was like, hey, they're offering me 80, and they're like, well, we'll give you 70. And I was like, fine, because I didn't actually want to leave, because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And I just want to get paid more. There's a lot more cons that we could get into, but you guys are all very familiar with them. I guess option two then, working for cash PT, where always pros and cons, but one, you have options, right? And if you want more security, like a lot of physical therapists do, you can ask for a higher salary. Like all I want is a salary with no bonuses. You can get that. But if you're a little bit more intrapreneurial and you want to be able to grow and be a little bit more responsible and get paid a little bit more for performance, then you could have a low base salary, like a very low base salary, with a very high ceiling for bonuses of like, hey, if I do a good job bringing people in, if I do a good job retaining clients, if I have a full caseload, you know, I'll get paid my base salary for up to X number of patients, and I'll get paid this dollar amount for every patient beyond that. And you can control how much income that you have, right? You could have something where it's like, hey, really low $50,000 base salary, but maybe there's like $100,000 or $120,000 cap on it. Just really no cap. It depends on how many people you want to see. And it really depends on you as a person. Some people like that. Some people don't.
Can I chime in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so those numbers might be compared to like the higher salary that's more moderate, but it's guaranteed. So then maybe you're making like 75,000 flat with no bonuses.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing to have that comparison there. All right, so it really does depend. And you can negotiate that depending on which way you want to go. There's also some other options, right? Again, if you want to be a little bit more intrapreneurial or you want a little bit more responsibility, you know, as a business owner, we don't have time to like launch every initiative that you might want to have, right? So if there's a certain type of person that you want to see, or there's a certain service line that you wish that the company had, you can take on the responsibility of building and launching and growing that in exchange for a percentage of the revenue that it brings in. If you were to come and say, hey, Caitlin, I would love to build this whole training line at Move Athletics. And you don't have to do anything. Here's what it looks like. I want to go out. I want to get the clients. I want to build it. I want to run it. I want to do everything. I want to house it here. And I just want to get 30% of everything that it brings in. that's reasonable. Don't go asking for 50, 60, 70% because there's overhead that comes with it. There's taxes. There's all these expenses that, as employees, like you don't see. So it's not like the other person's like the owner's going to get rich off of the work.
I would say 30% is on the high end that you could.
Yeah, like that would be the max there. But if you say, hey, I want 20%, I want 30%, and I'm going to do everything. You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to build it, launch it, grow it, run it, and then maybe eventually staff it. And it's like, it's my baby. You don't have to worry about it. That is something that adds value to the company without asking the owner of the company or the person in charge to do it for you, right? Otherwise, it's just like, all right, cool. If I have to build this and grow it, you're just going to get your salary for like running and working in it. Like if you want to be in a position where you can grow and make more money, then take on more responsibility and present it in that manner. Like, hey, I thought this out. Here's the plan behind it. And then, you know, you and I can sit down and I can present you my plan and you can tell me how to do it a little bit better and give me guidance on it. But I go out, I meet the people, I do the thing, and I do it all outside of my regular work hours as well. I don't ask, it's like, hey, can I have some time off in the clinic to build this thing? Because your salary is covering the things that you're already doing in the clinic. Unless you're in that lower base salary bonus structure, then maybe potentially you would be able to do that depending on the situation.
So some other things that we've seen in the realm of cash PT with employees is a lot of them, once they've been there for a couple of years, feel the need to ask for a percentage of the company and become a part owner, which if your employer is fine with that, cool, but really the roles that you're asking to fulfill for them in exchange for a percentage of the company are probably more like office manager or clinic supervisor roles, which they could just give you a raise for without necessarily needing to be an owner of the clinic, because you probably aren't wanting all that extra work, because that's not a 40 hours a week position.
Yeah, it's a lot more than a 40 hours.
Just throwing that out there, because there should not be any entitlement to, well, I deserve part of this practice. It depends on the work that you're putting in and how much you're offloading from the current owner.
Yeah, and then I think that goes a lot also on the clinic owner side. Because, you know, we've been in business groups and we've heard the clinic owners having that discussion a lot of like, oh, what do I do? Do I do a profit sharing model? Do I give them equity? Like, how do I try to keep this person? And it's just a thought error, I feel like, in the clinic owner's mind of like, I have to give somebody, you know, part ownership or profits or this or that to retain them. And it's just like a bad way of thinking. Like, what other company runs that way? Right? Like if you're in a law firm and you want to become a partner in that law firm, like you buy into it. They don't just give you that, right? Like you have to purchase that to have that ownership, which is not given. And it's a very different situation. And that leads us into one of the cons of maybe working in a cash practice is if you want to have a lot of growth in a cash practice, especially a smaller cash practice, you need to be a little bit more entrepreneurial. You need to be taking on more responsibilities and you need to be helping drive the growth of the company. And if you want to grow without having to take on that responsibility, the opportunity might not be there, especially if it's a one clinic, like one location clinic, because there is nowhere for you to go. If it's like owner and then a couple of therapists, what other roles and responsibilities can you take on within that? Maybe you can do a little social media, maybe you can do a little of this, but again, that's not linear growth. That's taking on these different responsibilities in order to actually grow the company.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more of that entrepreneurial based mindset, because it's not like you're just going to open your schedule for more hours and see more patients coming in. If you want to grow there, it's taking on more than just a couple of social media posts per week. It might be taking over more of the marketing. It might be taking over some of the office manager and leadership positions and taking on a lot of the administrative back end work. Like, hey, I have this extra time, or hey, I'm willing to put in this extra time. What can you give me?
Yeah, it's not taking over most of it. It's taking it over completely. Like, hey, I want to take on the marketing responsibilities for the clinic. I'm going to make sure that we have local events set up, that we have patients coming in the door, that we're doing all of this. And I am taking responsibility for making sure we have enough evaluations, enough of this, enough of that, enough calls, whatever it is. And I'm going to do everything, I'm not going to take over a small portion of it, right? I'm not going to be like, well, I'll go teach more workshops. I'll go do more free injury screens. Well, we at least have a minimum of community events that you should be doing, and they need to be doing anyways. But I'm going to be the one that makes sure the clinic is staffed, not staffed, full of incoming patients at all times. I'm going to monitor. I'm going to make sure the events are set up. I'm going to do all the things on the back end. I'm going to make the flyers. I'm going to set up QR codes. I'm going to make the landing pages. I'm going to communicate with all these things, and I'm just going to tell you that it's done.
Yeah. Well, and I think that even too, reeling it back into the one marketing event per month, some clinics require you to do more than one. That might be a con of working for a cash PT. If you just want somewhere that you have a consistent Monday through Friday, clock in, clock out, and then you go home, most cash practices are going to require you to do some sort of a marketing event. And those don't happen during work hours. Those are typically in the evenings or on the weekend.
So there's a lot of pros to it though, right? Like everybody that comes here, we work with them one-on-one for the entire visit. There's never any exercise techs, aides, anything like that. We get to work with an athletic population. Mm-hmm. We get to work with people that actually want to get better. So every single person that comes through the plan of care with us, they're not just here because their doctor told them to come here. They're here because they want to fucking get better. They're willing to put their money where their mouth is and do the work. That's a huge pro to me in my eyes.
Yeah. You're also not worried about what insurance is dictating for their treatment. You are choosing what you're doing. So it's up to you if you want to do squats and cleans in your treatment session, and it's therapeutic activities, and who gives a fuck if it's reimbursable?
Yeah, you do BFR, you do dry needling, whatever kind of stuff you want to do. I mean, shit, we do so much education that's not reimbursable from most insurances, and that we're huge on that, but that also allows us to empower our patients and build a real genuine connection and relationship, which to me is another pro.
Yeah, and you're definitely not going to waste your time doing bullshit interventions that aren't going to help the patient just because somebody pays for it. So you're not going to waste your time. You're not going to waste the therapist's time. You're not going to waste your time. You're not going to waste the patient's time.
One more pro? I got one more.
Yeah.
One more. I could go on pros for cash PT forever, obviously, because that's what we love. But you don't have to listen to the bullshit that surgeons say. And that, for me, is a huge pro, is that when I have somebody's doctor or surgeon call me and they're trying to do something that's not in the best interest of the patient, they might think it is, right? But it's not their area of specialty. It's my area of specialty. I just tell them, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not how we're going to do it. And we're going to do whatever I want to do because this is my area of specialty. And I get to talk to whoever I want to like that because I'm not reliant on that physician or that surgical center for referrals. Our patients come here because they want our help. They seek us out and they pay us privately and they trust us oftentimes a lot more than their surgeon or the PA or their primary care. They say, hey, my surgeon said this. And I'm like, hey, that's not right. We're not going to do that. We're going to continue on doing it this way. And I've never had a problem with it because how much trust and rapport we have with our patients, because they understand that we are the experts in our field. And their doctor, their surgeons, all those people, they don't know what we do. That's why they send them to us.
So those are all great pros and cons to work for a cash PT. Your third option is to actually start your own clinic, especially if there's... Yeah.
It'll never work.
especially if there's not something that's already there in your area. If you can't find it, make it. So... with starting your own clinic, there's definitely more risk. There's a lot more risk, but there's also a lot more room to grow. And there's really not a cap on how much money you could make. So I will say the caveat are a lot of the cons. So there was a lot of back-end work. You have to learn how to do a lot of things. You got to learn how to market. You got to learn how to track the finances. You got to learn how to do all the really annoying tax stuff. You have to learn how to be IT. You have to learn how to build a website. You have to learn how to delegate out. You need to learn how to be a leader if you grow more than just yourself. And it's extremely, extremely, extremely time consuming, especially in the beginning. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows where your clinic is. And if you just sit behind your door in your clinic, nobody's going to come in. So you have to spend the time going out, building relationships.
Wait a minute.
To bring people in.
Wait a minute. I can't just make post on Instagram and expect people to come see me because I posted on Instagram.
Nope.
That's not the way it works.
Nope.
I don't believe you.
So All of those things are what it takes, and those are the sacrifices, those are the cons, but I will also say it is doable. And that is why a huge number of clinicians have switched to that model. Because once you get through the grind, especially in the first couple of years, you have a more flexible schedule and you can control how much money that you make.
Mind if I hop in?
Go.
You actually have a much more flexible schedule right as soon as you start it, because you can do whatever the fuck you want. But it's the mindset behind it of like, oh no, I have a business. I have to be here. I can't take time off. I took a week off. I think every month for like the first 4 months, which is not normal, right? Yeah. Most people don't do that. But if I'm making enough money and everything's good, I don't need to be crushing my soul like people just feel like they have to do. I think that is one of the cons, is that it's the headspace that it takes up. And that's what makes it so time consuming, because most people like myself lack organization. Thank God Caitlin is very organized. She actually told, was it my mom that you were talking to? She was like, oh yeah, I'm really good at, what the hell, what it was? Oh, it was like, oh, here's a big difference between Roger and I like to save important things. Like that was it. I was like, oh shit, call me out. Sidebar. Because they're disorganized, right? And their brain is going 100,000 miles an hour and they're in bed at night and they're thinking, oh God, they do this thing, they do that thing, because they're not writing things down. They're not making a plan for the next day. They're not organized. They're just like putting out fires all the time.
You have to learn how to have and create a system that you follow every day. You have to make processes and then be able to follow those processes and not just fly by the seat of your pants every day, which I will say there's different types of clinics that you can make, and they're cash clinics, but it's, do you want to have business? Do you want to have just a lifestyle business where it's just you and you make just what you need and then you take whatever time off, kind of like Roger was talking about? Or you can really push it and you can grow it and scale it and build it and hire and grow beyond yourself. And those are just two different lifestyles. And so it's really up to you how much you want to put in, because you can keep your expenses as low as you want in a cash practice. All you need is a way to write notes, which I've known PTs who had cash clinics who didn't have a software. They just wrote paper notes and kept it in a lock box. Two locks, by the way. You gotta have two locks. So who did that? And then you just pay for whatever space you're using. There's a lot of pros and cons, but it's also just decide what you want, envision your life, and work backwards from there.
Caitlin knows a lot more about the legal things in general, but I'm pretty sure you don't actually need notes at all besides to protect yourself. Because you're not submitting them to insurance for approval of anything. It's just in case somebody sues you and you've got records of what you've done, really. Am I wrong there? It's like, no, your notes aren't going anywhere.
Most state practices have a requirement for that. I mean, so you don't have to necessarily write the same amount of things that you would for insurance. You just maybe the existence of...
Like the visit. Yeah, documenting. Yeah. You need records of the visits happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So total sidebar there. All of those things, though, they could also be considered a pro, depending on the way you look at it, who you are as a person and what you want out of life. Because if you look at all of those cons that we just said, everything was you have to learn. You have to grow. You have to become better. You have to level up. So business in and of itself is a journey of self-development. And if you want to have success, you want to have multiple clinics, you want to be this person that has whatever type of business, you need to become the type of person that can have that, that can do it well. One of our mentors, Bedros Koulian, that's what he talks about, like the businessman, the business woman, right, comes before the business plan. So if you think of somebody that has, you know, 10 clinics, 15 clinics, a staff of people making X number of dollars, what traits does that person need to have to be able to do that successfully? Do you have those traits? If not, get to work. We got to start developing them, right?
Yeah. So speaking of skills and learning and bettering yourself, if you haven't already checked out our free 3-week mini course, go to www.moveathleticseducation.com/free. And you can click and download a free 3-week training. I already said that, but I just want to reemphasize the point that it's completely free. It's training. It's readily implementable into your skill set and into your patient caseload today.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that goes through it, not everybody, but a lot of people that go through it, right after week one send us a message and they're like, hey, this was amazing. Like, I was able to differentiate X, Y, and Z right away after the first week, and it really improved my practice. So definitely check it out. And then if you feel that way, send us a message. Hell, if you don't feel that way, send us a message about it as well.
If you feel unfulfilled in your life or in your career, no one is coming to save you. It is up to you to pursue excellence, to learn new skills.
And to welcome the challenge of raising the bar. Drive the change you want to see and subscribe to us on YouTube.